We're doing Shmuel. We're up to the what they call the 17th chapter, and we had seen how David had come to the camp and he heard about what Goliath was saying. We had heard about how at that time they were mutilating the bodies of the men, and Yishai told his sons, you give divorce contracts to your wives on condition, if you don't make it back safely from war, they should be divorced. They shouldn't be agunot, they shouldn't be bound, waiting to see if you're coming back. And David had repeatedly said, why is this guy getting away with this, with his blasphemy? And Shaul hears that David is asking, why don't we go out against him? And he finally summons David. So David tells him, don't worry about it. I'm going to go fight him. Shaul tells David, you can't win him. You can't, you're a young lad. You're all 28, 29 years old. He's been training for war since he was a youngster. You haven't been to war yet. David tells Shaul, when I was a shepherd, I had extraordinary things happen to me. A lion came, a bear came, the lion came with its cubs, and on the same day the bear came with its cubs, and I beat them up and I took the sheep back. And when that happened to me, I understood Hashem had given me a strength that was unnatural. So certainly I could take down this uncircumcised one who is cursing out God's camps. And Shaul tells David, go and Hashem should be with you. And he gives David his own armor. And David shouldn't have fit into the armor, but he did. And both he and Shaul look at that, and they're both taken aback. So when David sees the look in Shaul's eyes, he says, no, I'm not used to this. I'll do better without this. So David takes a staff, and he takes 5 stones from the stream. He picks the smooth stones, and he takes them in the shepherd's purse. He takes his knapsack, and he goes out to approach the Philistine. So the Philistine is coming out. Remember, he has a spear that the handle is like the beam. Like the beam of the loom. And David looks at him, and he looks at David. And when he looks down at David, he sees, what a beautiful looking kid. He says, I'm going to rape him. So he looks at David. That's what the Medrash says. It says that when David said, Al titen ma'avaye rasha, David understood exactly what would happen if he would lose. And that when David composed that chapter in Tehillim and he said, Al titen ma'avaye rasha, Hashem, do not let the wicked one have his desires, David knew that if he lost, this is what would happen to him. So the Goliath says to him, am I a dog? And David looks at him and says, yes. And David can see in him, we said that his mother, when she got pregnant, she had slept with 100 men and a dog that night when she got pregnant with him. And he says, there's some of that in you, yeah. So the Plishti says, why are you coming to me with sticks? David is walking with the shepherd's stick. And the Philistine curses David by his God. So he says, come here, I want to feed your flesh to the birds of heaven and to the domesticated animals in the field. David listens to that and says, that's interesting. This guy's already lost it. In the field you have wild animals. Domesticated animals don't eat meat. Domesticated animals in the field, he's all confused. Okay, David says, you're coming to me relying on your weapons. I'm coming to you with the name of Hashem who controls all armies. And he is the God of the camps of Israel you dared blaspheme. And Hashem will give you in my hand today. And then I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to remove your head from upon you. And I'm going to give the corpses of all the Philistine camps to the birds of heaven and the wild animals of the earth. And all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. And all the crowd that's watching, all the Philistines are gathered there and their bleachers, they're all watching. They will know that when Hashem saves, it doesn't have to be by the sword or the spear. Hashem controls the wars. And all of you are going to be in our hands. So the Plishti gets up and he starts advancing towards David. He has Uriah the Hittite walking in front of him, holding a shield, and David runs towards him. David doesn't walk back, he charges, and he grabs a stone, and he puts it in a slingshot, and he throws it at the Philistine towards his head. And at this point, we go into slow motion. The stone is whizzing in the air towards Goliath. Goliath has a shield, he's wearing a helmet, and it has, we said, a metal piece that goes down his nose, past his neck, so that no sword can really come at his neck. He's got on the side two long pieces of metal coming down from his helmet. And in truth, the stone has no way of penetrating the helmet. And we are taught that in Shemayim, there are angels that represent the different materials in the world. And so the angel of the stone meets the angel of the metal. The stone is whizzing. And the angel says, "Let me in." And the angel of the metal says, "No." And he says, "What do you mean, no? I have to kill him." And the angel of the metal says, "What's it worth to you? Give me something back. You want me to make way for you to penetrate the metal. Something that shouldn't really happen here. You want to come through and kill the Philistine? You got to give me something back." So the angel of the stone is whizzing. He's under a little bit of pressure. He says, "Well, okay, you have a deal. Until now, circumcisions in all of Tanakh were done by stone. From now on, the Jews will shift their custom. They're going to start doing it with metal. You have a deal." And with that, the stone continues whizzing and penetrates the helmet.
That was it. That David talking to the sword? I heard that David could lift the sword.
Check. This is the Medrash I know. You know a different Medrash. Show me. I don't know that Medrash. And the stone penetrates his head. And he starts going back. And in Shemayim they say, David risked his life. Make his life a little bit easier. And so instead of falling back, and then David would have to run another few feet to catch him, he falls flat on his face to the front. Now he's got all this armor. And he's on his face. So, at this point, the Philistine is dead already, but no one knows it. So, David runs up to him, and he reaches for the sword. But the Philistine was standing with the spear in his hand. And the sword had a special latch that you had to know how to unlock it to take it out. So David is standing there trying to get the sword out, and he can't. And along walks Uriah the Hittite, the arms bearer. And he stands there and he's looking at David, and David is looking at him. And David says, "Release the sword for me." And Uriah says, "What will you give me?" David says, "What do you want?" He says, "I want to convert to Judaism, and I want you to give me a Jewish girl." David says, "It's a deal." In heaven, a voice comes out and says, "David, you making deals with my girls? Okay, he's going to marry your wife." And with that, David's fate has just been sealed in heaven. That Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the granddaughter of Achitophel, who was supposed to be his wife, is going to marry this convert, this tzaddik, who will be one of David's greatest warriors, Uriah the Hittite. But David will feel a pull towards her because in his soul what he senses is they were supposed to be together, and he's right. He did it to himself. And with that, Uriah releases the sword. David takes out the sword and cuts off the head of Goliath. Now, Goliath was dead beforehand, but now the Philistines recognize that he's dead, and so they run. They had always said, "We'll have a one-on-one, and whoever wins, the other one will be their servant." So now they lost. So they ran. And they said, if this is what a Jewish kid can do, what could their whole army do? So they got scared. And the Jews continued the attack, and they destroyed the Philistine camp. And David took the head of Goliath and brought it to Jerusalem. He took Goliath's weapons and they became his. But David will dedicate those weapons to the temple so that they should be on display so that people will see the great miracle Hashem did for the Jewish people. Until one day that David will need them and then he'll take it back. But at this point, he leaves them there. Now, when Shaul sees David going out to fight Goliath, he sees the gait with which David walks, and he says, he looks like royalty. He's walking out there with confidence. He's walking out there like a leader. Who is he? So, Avner says, I'm not sure. And Chazal say, what does that mean? Avner knew who he was. Shaul knew who he was. He was playing music for Shaul just a short while ago. What's he asking? So Chazal say the following medrash: V'chilo haya makiro, he didn't recognize him. It says v'yaveh umiod, he liked him a lot. It said he was Shaul's arms bearer. What does that mean? He doesn't know who he was. So the medrash says that he saw the way he walked, and he said, "Is he a descendant from Peretz?" So then Peretz, the son of Yehuda, will bring forth kings. Is he a descendant of Zarach? So then he'll be an important person in Israel, but he won't be king. So Doeg, the Edomite convert, says to him, what are you worried about? He's an illegitimate person. He comes from Ruth, the Moabite. You have nothing to worry about. He's not going to be any king. And Avner said, what do you mean? Only the male Moabites are prohibited. The females are not. So, Doeg asks him, would you say that about other things? There are other places where the Torah says people aren't allowed to marry into Israel. We don't say it's just the men. So, Avner is stumped. He's not sure. Avner says, it says why not? Because they didn't offer food. So, Doeg says, well, why didn't the women offer food? He said, it's not modest. He said, no. The men could have offered the men, and the women could have offered the women. It's the same claim on the women. Why didn't they offer food to the women? So, Avner's not sure. So, Shaul says, you guys aren't sure if he's legitimate to marry into Israel or not, right? So, go ask. So, that's what it says over here, that he asked, who is this kid? Meaning, is he legitimate to marry into Israel? And no one knew. They had an argument in his tent between Doeg and Avner, and so he said, go ask. And this teaches us how Torah used to be in the days when we had a good tradition. So Avner goes to the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, and he asks him, are the females also prohibited from marrying into Judaism? He said, no, the females are allowed to. Ruth the Moabite was kosher. So he starts asking him all the questions of Doeg. So Shmuel says to him, you spoke to an apostate. Someone who's an apostate found ways to twist things and ask you these questions. These are not real questions. These are questions of someone who's out to make trouble. Someone who has a twisted interest over here has asked these questions. I'll answer those questions. But the first answer is, our tradition is that he's allowed to marry into Judaism. And with that, Shaul recognizes that David can be a threat. And when they finish the war, and the girls start singing, and they say, Saul led us to the victory of thousands, but David led us to the victory of tens of thousands. Shaul starts hearing how the people value David more than Shaul. And our sages say that little song that the women sang, that they were just being frivolous, a little bit joking. No, that little joke is what spurred the hatred of Shaul against David. Sometimes we think, I just said something little, I just made a joke. No, it started with that. And so Shaul is starting to feel threatened by David. And from that day onward, the Navi says, till the day Shaul will die, he will feel the threat of David. Shaul doesn't send David home. He keeps him there to be on his team. His son Yonatan loves David. He loves him, Chazal say, love that stemmed from a value of who he was. Without externals, without political interests, Chazal say, you want to know where true love lies? That's the love between Yonatan and David. technically David was the greatest threat to Yonatan, right? Because if David is so powerful, he might get the throne. Then Yonatan won't get the throne. If Yonatan gets the throne, then David won't get the throne. They had all the reasons in the world to hate one another, yet they had the greatest love for one another. Yonatan gave David his coat. He gave him his armor. He gave him his weapons. And David was a faithful warrior for Shaul. One day, they're sitting at home. David is still playing music for Shaul. Shaul takes the spear he's holding and he tries to kill David. He does it once. He does it twice. And every time he's about to hit David, David is focused on his playing and he leans forward playing the harp. And he misses once, twice. And he sees Hashem isn't going to let him do this. And he gets filled with fear because he sees Hashem has left him and he sees how much Hashem is with David. Now I want to, with this, segue into our class on the Jewish home. Can you think for a minute, if you're very upset at someone, you're ready to kill them. Shaul is ready to kill David. And Hashem shows up on the scene and says, I love him. He's my favorite. I will stand by him and not let you succeed. What do you do? Can we be big enough to say, if Hashem loves this person, I better love this person? We look at Shaul and we're very bothered. Shaul, don't you see? Hashem wants David, the future of the Jewish people. Well, in a Jewish marriage, very often, if we could only view our spouse as someone who Hashem said, she is a tzaddik. Whether you'll make it to the Garden of Eden, I don't know. But she's up there. If we could look at it that way, that would solve a lot of our problems. If we could look at her positively, and with this we'll begin our class on the Jewish